Welcome to Beyond the Pulpit, exploring the life and ministry of Walnut Creek Church downtown. This podcast is a ministry of the pastors of Walnut Creek downtown for our members and regular attenders. To learn more, please visit walnutcreekchurch.org/downtown or join us on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:15, or 10:45 a.m. at 323 East Locust Street in downtown Des Moines.
Well, all right. Welcome to Beyond the Pulpit. My name is Derek Wadley. I'm joined here by Dan Rood. Say hi, Dan.
Hello, everyone.
And Luke Cookie. Say hi, Luke.
Hey, guys.
And we're excited for this podcast. One is that this is our first video podcast. So
let's go.
The place where all the magic happens. This windowless room covered in pads. So if you're listening, you could watch it to learn what this is more. I don't know what it's going to add.
We can't tell you where we're at though. It's a secret. It's a secret.
You can't know. This is our underground church
bunker. That's right.
But yeah, so the point of this podcast, though, is for, as you hear in the beginning, it's for the members and regular attenders of Walnut Creek Church.
Mm-hmm.
And with respect to our members, we actually have a member meeting coming up soon.
Here we go.
Very soon on September 4th. September 4th from 5 to 7:30. And so we're not going to be doing business for 2 hours, though, right?
No. I mean, we could.
We could do
business. But we are.
Those are lots to cover. So dinner will be ready at 5 o'clock for you if you're able to make it. Otherwise, the meeting starts at 6. We'll go about 90 minutes from there. So yeah, you can sign up on our website for that if you are a member.
Yeah.
If you've gone through the 4-week membership class, done the interview, signed the covenant, all of that. So we would invite you to be there. We'd actually pretty strongly encourage you if you are a member to be there, because member meetings are really, really important in the life of a church and in the life of our church. And so I want to ask the question to you guys then, why do we do member meetings? Why are they valuable? Why do we do them?
That is a great question, and I've had a few people ask me that question recently in light of the upcoming member meeting, and it seems like there are a few different responses that people have. Some people, they'll say, I'm a member of the church. I love the church. Don't need to go to the member meeting. I know what's going on, and I'm kind of busy, so life can get busy. So that's like one response. Some people, they come to the church regularly. They're not members, but they want to go to the member meeting. So there's a variety of different responses. And so
There's no such thing, but
I declare myself to be a member. No. So I think this is a really important question. Mm-hmm. And as time moves on, it's important that we have clarity about why these meetings are worth our time and energy, because it does take time and energy. So five reasons. Why do we do these member meetings? Five reasons. Yeah. And these are not the only five, but I think these are central to answering the question. Number one is to see each other. We have three services downtown, and what can happen over the course of time is that a lot of people go to the same service week over week, month over month, and there are members of the church who never gather together in any meaningful way. They're not in the same community groups. They're not serving in the same ministries. And so the member meeting just provides an opportunity for all the members, for all the services, to gather together, to look at each other, to see each other, and to spend some time together. That's a big reason why we have the meal from 5 to 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's just providing opportunities for people to get together and see each other.
That's a good time for people to, I think you said in your message, like take a spiritual risk and sit in a different section of the church.
That's right.
That's maybe even higher risk, because not everybody there is a member and they might not even be Christians. But at a member meeting, the risk is a little bit mitigated. Or maybe you don't sit with your community group. Maybe you go and just pick a table, and then that's how you get to know other members.
That's right.
So that's a big piece of the fellowship piece of it.
Yeah, I think as people come to member meetings, or as members are coming, they should think about, hey, I want to get to know other members. And so that meal time, I think, is so valuable for just the camaraderie and the getting to know other people, other members in the church who are, agreeing to covenant with and link up to do life with. And so we want to create that context as much as possible. Obviously, there's only so much time we can give, but that hour before.
That, yeah.
is valuable.
There's a lot of work that goes into that dinner as well. I mean, maybe we should call out Sarah Kavan.
Now
Jessica Bloom. Bloom, recently married.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they put a ton of work into it. I've been talking to them the last couple of weeks. Even this week, they're grinding on it. And so I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. And that's another reason, too, when it comes to seeing each other. You know, like you said, a lot of work goes into this. And part of the preparation is having people share their testimonies. And that's why every member meeting, there's an opportunity for people to share their testimonies. Because, I mean, God is at work in his body and in the church. And so it's great to hear people's stories about how people are coming to faith in Christ, or how they came to faith in Christ, or where they're growing in their walk with the Lord. And so that just provides an opportunity during the meeting to hear from a member of the church. So it's an awesome thing.
Thing. Yeah. That's great.
So that's reason number one.
What's reason number two, Luke?
Yeah. Reason number two is just to welcome new members. So as part of our membership meetings, usually in the beginning of our time when we gather, we are bringing new members onto the stage, and we're welcoming them into membership at Walnut Creek Church downtown. And so usually they're sharing their name, maybe something a little bit about themselves, and then we're affirming or recognizing them as part of the membership, part of the body of Walnut Creek Church downtown. So that process that timing is encouraging.
Yep.
I mean, typically we have, I think, usually 10 to 20 new members, sometimes more than that, being welcomed into membership. And so it's always an encouraging part of the time, I think. Yeah. And usually after that, welcoming them to membership, then we send them out into the church members to pray for them. Yeah. And so just an opportunity to kind of just get to know them a little bit, or maybe know other people, but then also just in a spiritually just like kind of blessing them through prayer. And so that's always an encouraging.
It is an encouraging time. And it as the church has grown, I think one of the difficulties we've wrestled with is how do we stay a family? You know, we are a family, and God, by his grace, has grown our family over the years. And it's good. It's a good opportunity to know, oh, here are some new people who are joining our spiritual family, spiritual community. And if we don't have those times, we don't have the member meetings, it's very hard to know, okay, who's new? Who are the new members of the church? So it's a huge,
You know, in part of, you know, membership or becoming a new member, there's the process of becoming a member. And, you know, we have the 4-week class and then an interview with pastor, and then maybe a series of just conversations back and forth.
Yeah.
And then there's the signing of the covenant and then welcoming members at the member meetings. That's like the formal process of becoming a member. But we have membership classes happening all the time.
Yeah.
And so really every month, almost every 4 weeks, we have a membership class. And so we have, I think last year I was looking, we had somewhere around 150 people go through membership. And not all those people become members, but, you know, many have gone through the full process. And so I guess my point being is that—
And then they have kids too. And then you have kids, and so they get to know.
Well, so my point, I think part of that is that it is really valuable to be at the member meeting, because there are so many people who are becoming members on a regular basis. Right. And to get to know, or just to see who some of those people are, you're not going to know everybody the same way. But it's an encouraging thing. I mean, for me, it's encouraging every week, every quarter.
And when we sign this covenant, it's like, it's not like like we're covenanting with like an entity.
Right.
You know, the covenant is
the entity of Walnut.
The entity of Walnut. Yeah. It's not, you're not covenanting with our building
or a pastor
or a pastor or the pastors. Like you're covenanting with the body, with one another. These are the people where all of the one another commands of scripture, where it's most practically lived out.
That's right.
Where you're signing up to say, I am obligated to these people for these things.
And that's a big reason why we don't let people just self-declare their membership to the church. It's not like you just raise your hand, I declare myself to be a member. That's it doesn't work that way. And that's something that I think we have grown in over the years, is just trying to do a good job of helping people understand what membership is, why it matters, and how you actually become a member. Because when someone becomes a member, they are covenanting with God and the body to follow Christ together.
That's
right. So it's an important thing. And we want people to know what they're signing up for. Right. And we want the members, when someone becomes a new member, we want our current members to know that these people know what they're signing up for.
That's right.
And so it's an important piece
That's right.
of the process.
Yeah.
Okay. Reason number three. What's reason number three?
Sometimes we have to send leaving members off.
Yes.
And so people don't stick around for their whole lives sometimes.
Yep, that's
and that's
correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's okay.
Membership covenant is not the same as a marriage.
That's right. It's not that's a marriage
not covenant. Until death do us part.
That's right.
That's right.
But yeah, there's a variety of different reasons people might be leaving mm-hmm. the church physically while still being members, such as like our missionaries. When mm-hmm. when we send missionaries, they're still members of our church.
That's right.
But we want to recognize they're not with us week over week. Same. They're actually yeah. doing a good work somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right.
So part of that is the ability to send them off. But other people leave for other reasons.
Yeah,
a variety of reasons.
And, you know, there's a pastor friend of mine, he's about 15 years older than me. And I remember getting coffee with him maybe 10 years ago. And he looked at me and he said, Dan, healthy churches, people are going to leave healthy churches. Healthy churches can afford to have people leave their mm-hmm. church. Oftentimes, churches, when they try to hold on to everybody, you got to yep. keep everybody. That's not necessarily a sign of health and vitality right. and vitality. So we want to be a place where people can really thrive and grow. Mm-hmm. And we want to be a church that recognizes God is moving in people's lives.
Right.
And we want to send them out for whatever the next chapter is in their lives. And so this yeah. is the member meeting is one of the practical mm-hmm. ways we send out our yep. our members. And like you said, yep. there are a variety of reasons why they leave our church. What are some of those reasons?
Mm. Some of them are just family situations.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you have a parent who's older, mm-hmm. has health troubles or things like that. Maybe it's to move back to be closer to them. That could be a reason. I think another reason could be just job opportunities. And,
yeah.
and you know, I've yeah. known situations where I think it seems very legitimate where people are, they're trying to really figure out wrestling between this job and staying here and mm-hmm. and what makes the most sense. And so we've had plenty of people where as they pray and seek counsel, it seems like, hey, this is what yep. the Lord's leading you to do. And so we want to send you off. We want to affirm you and we want to encourage you. We want to, you know, yeah, send you off well, I guess. And
that's
so
right.
I think those are some reasons. And obviously all those things can be like, you can leave for the wrong.
Yeah, totally.
It can be the wrong motive.
Really unhealthy.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we want to, that's part of like leaving well is getting counsel and working through, praying through, thinking through, okay, is this reason a right. good, legitimate yeah. reason or yeah. is it not?
And, right. yeah. So, and if it is, how can we as pastors, how can we, the church, mm-hmm. Be a blessing to you yeah, on your right. way out? How can we help you adjust well, help you, you know,
get connected to a new gospel preacher?
Right. Yeah. You know, there's all sorts of things. And sometimes, you know, it's not like a job or anything. Sometimes there are legitimate, like doctrinal disagreements.
There are.
And theological things
yeah.
that...
Yeah.
People's convictions
change.
Are different and yeah. they're changed. They're different. Yeah. And that's totally, I mean, obviously if someone's like denying the Trinity yeah. or
that might be a church discipline.
That might be a whole different thing.
That's right.
But you know, sometimes there are legitimate things that come up that it just doesn't make sense to mm. be members of the same yeah. church.
That's right.
And so, yeah. And we really want our people to leave well. Okay. It's an important step in maintaining unity in our church and in other churches.
Yeah.
You know, we have friends who are pastors at other churches and sometimes we'll talk to each other and we just recognize there are people who are in our church right now who used to be in their church and vice versa.
That's right.
Yep.
And if people leave Walnut Creek poorly yeah. and they are, and I'm sure we make mistakes all the time and I'm sure there are valid reasons
right.
to leave over things that we've done. I'm not saying we're flawless, we're not, but if people leave poorly mm-hmm. and then they go to another church, that is not going to be a unifying thing typically.
So no, what would be maybe, you know, just briefly talking about what leaving well versus leaving poorly, what would that maybe look like?
Yeah.
That's part of our covenant. Yeah. Is we want. The seventh point of the covenant is leaving well.
People leave well.
And we really do mean that. And I think we want to help our members, if you're listening, your member, to even better understand that and practice that. So what would be leaving well look like versus, you know, leaving poorly?
Yeah. So maybe a couple of common reasons people leave, and I would say pretty poorly, mm-hmm. is maybe they have a friend in the church and their friend hurts their feelings over something. You know, yeah. They have a conflict, yeah. a disagreement. Yeah. It could be about something big or something small, and they just say, I'm out of here.
Right.
And
I'm not even going to try.
This is ridiculous. I hate you. I'm gone. That is extremely common.
Yeah.
I think another reason is that people, they want to hide in their sin, or they want to hide their sin, and they don't want to deal with it.
That's right.
Maybe they are being sexually immoral, or maybe they're really bitter. There's deep bitterness in their heart, and they don't want to deal with it, and they don't want to be known by people.
Right? Because
when you have relationships and people have obvious sin in their life, it's hard to ignore it. And so they say, I want to go to a place where nobody knows me. No one knows anything that's going on.
Yeah.
Another bad reason, I think, for leaving is that you recognize a shortcoming in the church. like there's something wrong with the church. I think, as pastors.
So if you believe other churches.
Can we probably take that out?
We're not perfect.
No, we're very far.
Well, we made plenty of mistakes.
But I think people have instincts, and sometimes those instincts are right and sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes people think, well, if there is genuine weakness in the church, that's the sign that I should leave.
That's right, yeah.
And I think, no, maybe you should think, if there's a weakness in the church,
how can I help correct it?
How can I fix it?
Yep.
Yeah.
The assumption of the New Testament is that there are many parts to one body.
Yep.
And not everybody is an ear. Not everyone is a thumb. Not everyone, is a
brain.
Not everyone is a brain. And there may be times there may be times where there's going to be disagreement and you're not going to be a good fit in the church and there's time to move on. But usually we want people to see if maybe they are the solution to the problem that they see.
Yeah,
right.
That has been a huge benefit to our church, where someone says, you know what? I see a weakness, a flaw, a mistake, an error. And they say, maybe God has put me here to help the church in this way. And that has happened dozens and dozens of times over the years.
That's right.
And so I think leaving well is to say, or leaving poorly would be to say, there's a weakness, therefore I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And find the perfect church.
Or someone's hurt me and I got to go. Yeah.
Right. And when you go, it's like, A, you're going to get hurt by somebody at a church,
right.
Or you're not going to find the perfect church.
Yeah.
And again, we're not perfect.
We're not.
Yeah. We're not perfect.
Yeah.
But neither is institutionally any other church.
One illustration I've heard over the years, I don't remember from whom explicitly, but it's like if you say you're someone who's leaving because you have bitterness, someone's hurt you, you have not resolved that, you have not reconciled with that person, so bitterness begins to creep in and you have baggage. It's like when you leave a church and you have not addressed or dealt with or reconciled that relationship, you're just taking that luggage, that baggage to the next church,
and
you're dropping it off at their door and you're saying, here you go. And because I think the idea is your baggage doesn't leave you. Sometimes we think, I'll just leave this church and my baggage will stay here, my bitterness will stay here, whatever. But it doesn't. It comes with you because it's an issue of the heart. And so especially in those situations where you've been hurt by somebody, man, I mean, not just like the covenant, or us, path, the New Testament, it commands you to be reconciled.
Yeah,
and so maybe that still means you end up leaving for some reason.
For sure.
It could mean that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think leaving well on the flip side would say, I need to reconcile this relationship.
Totally.
I need to deal with this difference.
We want to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what we want. We want to have long-term, meaningful, healthy relationships within our church and outside of our church with other Christians.
That's right.
Yeah. So we spent a long time talking about leaving poorly, but just to leave well would be to seek that reconciliation. And sometimes that means like talking to one of the pastors or talking to a friend, another ministry leader, and saying like, hey, I have this issue. I don't know how to go about reconciliation. So like, will you help me with that reconciliation?
Totally.
There's counsel to be sought there. Sometimes it's, you're offered the opportunity to move across the country, do another job or a church plant or something like that. It's seeking real counsel, not deciding ahead of time and looking for people who are just going to affirm what you want to do, but being genuinely open to critiques of that idea and listening to it. And it might be that you still move forward, but it's like you've done it in an abundance of counsel.
Yeah, yeah. Part of becoming a member, we talk about in the membership class, is that in one sense, you're raising your hand to say, I want to be shepherded by you pastors, and I want you to help give me you know, guidance and direction to my life.
I want your shepherding care.
Exactly. Yep. And so, and what we're saying is we are going to provide that shepherding care to you, you know, as part of the covenant. Yep. And so part of leaving well, I think, is seeing, okay, my pastors are here to help shepherd me. Mm-hmm. And so getting counsel from us as pastors, not all of us, but, you know, who you're close to as a pastor or would be then seeking counsel and saying, hey, what? Here's my situation. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And like Derek, like you were saying, is that I can think of numerous situations where the counsel is, yeah, I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You should go and you should move because of this reason. That seems like what the Lord is really leading you to do. And so it's not for us just to tell people no or control what's happening. Goal. We genuinely want to help you make a good decision to really make sure that what you're doing is honoring to God and, and it's obedient to Christ. And so part of leaving well is really seeking counsel.
And so the member meeting is an opportunity to to send these people, send these people off well.
Yes.
You know? And even just for the saints to know, hey, these people, they were part of our body and we love them and we're sending them off. And it's normal in the life of the church.
That's right.
Okay.
Guys,
number four.
Communication. Communication. There's a lot of communication that happens during our member meeting, and there's so much happening in the life of the church that it's impossible to try to communicate everything we need to communicate on our during our Sunday services. There are many things that do not translate very well via email. I mean, if you send an email, it's like, I mean, there's some information, but it misses some of the heartbeat. And so there's just so much happening that we feel like we need to communicate with the church about what's happening. And so here's just a few examples of the types of things that I think are really important. One is what's going on with our missionaries, what's happening with our missionaries. And we're not going to get into explicit detail, but it's good to know.
In fact, this member meeting, we will have a global update. So. Yeah. Pastor Greg Altmaier will be given an update here.
And it's like the church should hear about the or about the missionaries that we have.
Yeah.
Or like we built this last year, we built a fourplex to house our missionaries. And it's a big investment of time, money, energy to serve these people and giving updates about what's happening and why we're doing that. I mean, it's hard to contain that in an email.
Right.
Or there can be member care. Yeah. Topics that come up that are really important, things that are happening in the lives of our members that we need to pray for, communicate about. Church discipline is another topic that comes up. It's like we're not going to do church discipline. We're not going to communicate church discipline issues at our Sunday services. And when you do, it's horrible.
So uncomfortable.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
You've experienced that.
So have I.
I went to a church with a guy who wasn't a Christian. We were in another city.
We're visiting
another city for a bachelor party, but part of it was we wanted to go to a Saturday night church of a preacher we really liked. But then we show up to this meeting, and it's like the 40 of the 60 minutes are like church discipline.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable. It's like the normal service. And we're like, what is happening here? This guy's like, what? Is this what church is?
Because there's no context.
Yeah.
In that church situation, there's no context for the church to gather to address church discipline issues. So we're not going to practice church discipline.
Especially in our context, we have all, like some of the people that are coming to church, they're new to church or they're, that would be the mistake.
Yeah. So we want to communicate about church discipline topics. Also, vision. We want to communicate vision.
What are we doing?
Where are we going? Some updates.
How are we staying on mission?
We
look at the mission to start
every meeting.
Yeah. And then you know, the vision is how we're going to execute on that.
Yeah.
How are we going to do that?
Yeah. Or even like explaining some important steps in developing leaders. You know, we started the pastoral residency and that has been a huge blessing. And we've communicated all of that pretty thoroughly at our member meetings. Someone who will remain anonymous came up to me. They've been a member for a long time and they were pretty upset at first. And they're like, what's the deal with the pastoral residency? I've heard nothing about it. And I said, brother, that's because you've been to none of the member meetings. You don't know what's going on because you've been to none of the member meetings.
Right.
He's like, well, I shouldn't, but you know, and I understand that. I understand that There can be a sense of, I'm a member, I belong to the church, and I should know what's going on. Yep. And we agree with you. Oh, yeah. And a big part of the way you're going to find out what's going on yep. is go to the member meetings.
Yeah. I have those types of conversations all the time as yeah. well. I'm sure you do too, Luke. I mean,
no, I never do, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, there's time to be able to communicate that stuff. And a part of the communication process is our Q&A that we
yeah,
tell.
Totally.
And so we want to be able to open it up. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. You know, it is a family meeting of the church.
Family meeting.
But sometimes that family is 300-400 people. And when you ask your question out loud, you're at a time. So but there is opportunity for that. You know, yeah. things that we get brought up or things that are even just on your heart, things you're wondering about that mm-hmm. maybe we didn't get into.
And there's that formal communication or Q&A time, but there's also just the opportunity through being together, the meal right. before or after,
no doubt.
Ask questions. No doubt. So,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. So we want to communicate and we want to get better and better at communicating with the saints. That as the church grows, we got to get better and better mm-hmm. at communicating with the saints. And so that's just one critical piece of mm-hmm. the whole process.
Yep. All right. We said we have 5 reasons. We've done 4.
Okay. Reason number 5.
Last one.
Is to reaffirm the covenant, our covenant together, to remember our covenant together.
Yep.
And why is that important, Luke?
It's a good question, Ed. No. It is important because we're, one, just a reminder of what is the covenant? What are we doing? And a reminder of, I'm before God. I'm committing to following Christ with these people
with
together.
These, people,
these are the people that I'm linking arms up with, and they, you know, we're walking with the Lord together. And so it's an opportunity at the end of our meetings, we just recite the covenant together to remind ourselves of what we have covenanted to and who we have covenanted with.
That's right.
That's right.
So I find that extremely helpful. Every time I'm going through those points, I'm like, oh yeah, it's really good. This is what we're doing. And it's not like the covenant is, it's like an addendum to the Bible. It's like, no, it's just pulling out what the Bible already says. It's just describing, helping ourselves say, okay, this is what we're giving ourselves to.
That's right.
And to whom we give it with.
Yeah. Yep. So there are, we could probably go list off
a lot
10 more reasons, but these 5 reasons are central to what we're trying to accomplish at the member meeting. And so if you are a member of Walnut Creek, our hope is that you will prioritize these times together, that you'll show up full of God's Spirit, ready to love one another, to learn, to be together, and to be a blessing to the church.
And if you're not a member and you're listening, there are membership classes happening regularly, so you can jump on the website and find those. And we encourage you to walk through the membership process. I think it's a really a blessing to your life.
Yep. So do that. Don't come to the member meeting.
That's not step one. Step one is the membership class.
So And so that member meeting coming up September 4th, that's a Wednesday. We haven't
it's
done
different.
A it's different than Sunday right after church or Sunday at evening.
Yep.
So we're trying something a little different. And so far a lot of y'all have signed up.
Yeah.
That's been really encouraging. Normally the number that we're at right now is the number that we're at like 2 days out.
Yeah.
And so we're still a good week and a half away, at least from the time that we're recording this. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday, September 4th, 5 to 7:30.
Yep.
You can sign up on our website. So we hope to see you there.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Pulpit. Walnut Creek Church exists to glorify God by making authentic disciples of Jesus Christ who love and worship him in all they do. To submit a question to be answered in our next podcast, please visit our website at walnutcreekchurch.org/downtown. If you haven't already, please give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram and sign up for our weekly email updates. And please join us for church on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:15, or 10:45 a.m. at 323 East Locust Street in downtown Des Moines.